Thanks for joining us for another Family Life Today program brought to you Monday to Friday by Power to Change. I'm sure you'll hear something today that could give you a fresh perspective on your marriage or family situation. Be encouraged as we join Dave and Anne Wilson.
Do you think the issues that our kids are dealing with today are different than 20, 25 years ago?
Yeah, I think, well,
like when we were parents and were raising kids in the 90s, early 2000s, isn't that when we raised them?
Yeah.
I can hardly remember. Are the issues totally different for parents with their kids in 2023?
I think they are. And mainly I say that because of social media. It's totally different. Now, are there issues like bullying, loneliness, not being able to get along? All of that's true, but it looks different today because of social media, I think.
And I think it's heightened today.
Me too.
And we thought it was hard when we did it. You talk about now.
There are a lot more places, I think, for our kids to escape today than there were before. And so that's interesting to navigate as a parent and to know how to navigate that.
And so we got help in the studio today to help us with parents and these issues. Sean McDowell, welcome back.
Honored to be back.
You're a parent. Let alone yep. a professor and a mm-hmm. teacher and an author. And your latest book, The Rebel's Manifesto, attacks all the issues we just talked about mm-hmm. and many more.
I don't know if it attacks it.
No, it doesn't attack it, but it helps us.
And address it.
Yeah. Did you even think of parents when you were writing it? Is that
on your radar? 100%. Yeah. Like my first book had 10 chapters just because I thought, well, you have 10 chapters in a book. Then I went back to write as a parent. I was like, oh, what tool would I use with my kids? So 30 chapters, shorter, and it's a setup to just read together 5, 6, 7 minutes and then talk about it.
So read with your kids.
I know more pastors, youth pastors, and Christian school teachers are going to buy the book and use it with kids than kids are going to buy it themselves. So I wrote it to students through their parents, in a sense, I guess you could say.
Well, the subtitle is Choosing Truth, Real Justice and Love Amid the Noise of Today's World. And so you've hit all the topics parents are discussing or want to discuss or need to discuss
with their kids. And here's the question. Did you do it with your kids? Did you talk through these with them?
So yes and no. I haven't taken them through my book chapter by chapter because that's a little bit weird. Here, let's go through Dad's book. But what I have done is in class, I'll have my kids at a private school. And we've gone through one of my books chapter by chapter and discussed it as class, had them in there. I had my daughter. Kids respond differently. So my book before this, same format, but on sexuality, is I told my daughter, said, if you'll read this and then just talk with your dad about it over coffee, I'll buy you like a pair of shoes or something like that. And she did it. So we've talked about a lot of these topics over the dinner table, in the car, relationally. But I don't sit down and make my kids go through my book. That'd be a little much, probably.
Is loneliness a factor today more than, like, that's probably always been an issue, but is it heightened?
I think loneliness has always been there, mm-hmm. but I think it is heightened for a couple reasons. One being social media, and it's not that I think social media is bad, and even smartphones. In some ways, it can be good, and it can be great. But a digital like cannot replace a physical hug. And there's a lot of people who are just trying to find their identity through social media or internet, you know, alone, apart from real incarnational relationships. That's one reason. I think the other one, I think the pandemic really exacerbated the loneliness that was there before. And really, what's the root of loneliness? It's broken relationships. Mm. So we can see going back to the 60s, the 80s and 90s, and today we see divorce overall has increased. Relationships are broken. Marriage has broken down. So yes, there's always been loneliness, but I think the tools that we have, what's been changed through the pandemic, less people going out than in the past and just meeting in the flesh. I think loneliness is more serious than it's been in a while, at least in American history and beyond.
Have you seen that with your college students?
Yes, I have. I've seen it with high school students and college students. Now, at Biola, we have pretty unique students. Mm. Aren't just a cross-section of any students. They're coming to get a Christian education, coming to think Christianly. We have amazing community at Biola, but I would say even amongst some of the best Christian families, there are still a lot of kids in my classroom with broken relationships with their parents, a lot more than you would think. So that's true in our Christian families. It's true in our Christian churches. It's true in our best Christian schools. So I don't make assumptions with my students. And the deeper I probe, yeah, I see a lot of hurt and brokenness there that you would not expect on the surface.
I mean, what would you say to a parent who is sensing, my daughter's lonely? I can feel it. I can see it. Talk about the loneliest factor. I mean, if I'm seeing that in my home, and often I think we look as a parent, we see our child on a smartphone all day long, and we think they're not lonely because they're interacting with their friends, but yet there's symptoms in their life that seem to be, man, they're really isolated and feeling lonely. How do we step into that?
So first thing I would do is talk with my wife, because chances are she saw it long before I did. If I see it, it's like flashing red signs and I missed all the obvious hints. So I just make sure, hey, what do you see? Are we on the same page? We would talk. I might, respecting that kid, depending on dynamics, I might go to a sibling and just say, hey, do you think your brother or sister, I've noticed this, I'm just curious if you think his parents were on this. Do you see anything at school? Do you think we should have any concern? Without gossiping behind that kid's back, I might do that. But most importantly, I would just go to that kid in the right setting. Maybe be like, hey, I want to take you out to ice cream or take you out to coffee and just chat and say, hey, I just want to hear your heart. Here's some things your mom and I have seen. Are we right to see this? Are you feeling this way? I just want to hear you out. What's going on? And talk about it. I found that's the best way to get to the heart of it. Now, if you notice something significant that concerns you, one of the things I've learned as a communicator is I know very quickly when I'm over my depth and out of my expertise and I need a counselor and I need somebody professional to help. So look for those signs, but start by talking with your spouse and then just go into the kid and ask it and open up a conversation.
Now, you write in that chapter on loneliness about your dad. Mm. How old were you when you first heard about your dad's background?
So I heard about my dad's background probably as soon as I could speak, because he came from an alcoholic father. His older sister committed suicide. Just a broken family. I mean, we were sitting around as a family maybe a decade ago, and my mom is sharing funny stories of growing up in Boston. And my sister Heather goes, hey, Dad, share it. Just a good memory, a funny story you have when you were a kid. Dave and Ann, it was awkward silence.
Really?
He goes, kids, I don't have one.
Whoa.
And like, I'm feeling it right now. It's like, not one. Holy cow. So I knew it my whole life. But that about a decade ago really brought it home. Like, holy cow, I feel that. But the thing he started sharing maybe about a dozen years ago is publicly, is that he had been sexually abused. He didn't suppress it. He had gotten professional help with it. But I remember he sat us down as a family, just us, me and my three sisters. And I thought in my mind, I was like, he's going to tell us he's dying of cancer. That's how grave it was. And he just shared it with us. And my sister's in tears. But you realize how painful and hurtful that is and the scars that that leaves. That's so many kids in this generation. Sexual abuse, bullying, broken relationships. That's why his story still resonates with Gen Z, because they're like, I felt that and I've experienced that.
That makes me just want to cry for him to not have one memory.
Oh, my goodness.
To be able to share. And it's pretty incredible of the legacy now for you guys, for your kids, you know, like coming from that. It reminds me of you too, Dave. Like you had a rough...
Yeah, Sean, when you were saying that, I was thinking I would have a similar answer to memories when I was a little boy. Mom and dad divorced. Dad left with his girlfriends. I watched the whole thing when I was a little boy. I didn't have sexual abuse, but I know that, and you write about this, all my life, I think deep inside there was a little bit of loneliness. I had two brothers and a sister, but they're 10 years older, so they were gone. So when the divorce happened for me, I was seven. I had a little brother. He dies of leukemia that year. And so I'm raised basically by a single mom.
Wow.
Just me. And my escape was sports and music. So I just immersed in that. But I think at the heart of it, I was very lonely. I come home to a house and nobody's there. My mom's working several jobs to pay. and I walk in a house and I'm alone, so I pick up a guitar or I pick up a ball, and I became proficient at those things, but I think it was an escape. And now today, you write about it, there's smartphones, entertainment, you name it, there's endless means of us to sort of placate our loneliness or our sense of emptiness.
Are there counterfeits where we escape?
Yeah, I think that's to your question at the beginning, what makes it different. The issues at their core are kind of the same.
Yeah.
But we've never had endless ways to distract ourselves. And frankly, a lot of social media releases the same chemicals in your brain that certain drugs do. You get a certain high from it, and they're designed to create you addicted to them. I used to have my students journal a few years ago, and this is a freshman in high school. And I said, hey, I want you to write for like 5 minutes, nonstop, just write. Why do you think we keep ourselves so busy? And these are freshmen, so most of them didn't really have deep answers, but I'll never forget what one girl wrote. She said, I keep myself busy and distracted so I don't have to slow down and feel the loneliness in my heart.
Wow.
And I thought, she is speaking for many in this generation. If you just... Sometimes I just watch social media and try to analyze it. And so much of it is, do you see me?
Yeah.
Will you like? Will you comment? Am I important? That's at the heart of so much of this. So if we don't give our kids the relationships they need, they're going to fill it with something else. They're going to fill it with pornography. They're going to fill it with success, fill it with sports. And obviously sports and success aren't bad. Pornography always is. But these are ways of filling up the human heart. So there's always been loneliness. We talked about that. But this generation can distract themselves from dealing with the root issue, unlike any generation before. So if we're not intentional and we don't step in, they're going to allow themselves to really live a life accepting these relational counterfeits.
But as parents, we get so worried about our kids that we react, that we shut things down, and we're not sure how to address the loneliness. I don't think we're thinking lonely. So most of the time I'd say, you guys are so stinking lazy. You know, you're getting nothing accomplished. This was terrible. And I'd have to always come back and apologize. But we're not sure how to go about that. And maybe if we say it nicely, they don't hear us. So what has been your experience, Sean, with this whole thing?
Well, first off, I resonate with you. I write books on this, but I apologize to my kids. My wife and I are like, let's start over. Another reboot. This isn't working. It's a process. You're never going to have it perfectly dialed in. But I think a lot of parents don't fight these battles because it's just easier not to.
Yeah, you give up.
It takes effort.
Yeah.
It takes work. And we don't. And what happens? The kid suffers for it.
So we should battle the issue.
Well, yes, in the sense of, I think there's a good amount of data that shows that kids want reasonable boundaries with technology. It's true in my classroom. It's true when I speak. It's true in our family. Now, it has to be reasonable. And there's times my kids have told me that's totally unreasonable. And we backed off. You negotiate this a little bit. As long as you have reasonable boundaries, you state why, and you hold kids consistently to it. I found as a whole, they will respond to it. That's the start.
Yeah. And I think, you know, at the end of the day, if we're not living it ourselves, they're not going to listen to what we say. They're going to do what we do.
Yep.
Talk about this. You have a chapter on bullying.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's always been a part of a child's experience, especially in school. But it seems like a different world now. Mm-hmm. So how do we navigate that one?
I think the obvious huge difference is, I remember growing up, 80s and 90s, if somebody's bullied, they could go home and escape it.
Yep.
Worst case scenario, go to a different school. Now you go home, you can't escape it. Now other people are piling on top of it, so it makes it worse. It's everywhere you go. And also, you can't even just switch schools because your reputation goes with you. So it can create a fear in this generation. If I just say the wrong thing, I'm going to get bullied. Now, the reality is there's three parties in bullying. There's the person who's bullied, there's the bully, and there's the bystander. As far as I can remember, I've never bullied anybody. I was not bullied off, and I can think of once or twice. I think growing up, I had ways to navigate and protect myself from that I figured out. But a couple times I can look back, I remember one time in high school I was a bystander. And the kind of kid who could just easily get bullied was getting bullied by a senior football player. And I didn't do anything. And I look back at that still to this day when it goes through my mind, a sense of shame and regret and anger. I don't know what I would do. Maybe I'd just tackle the guy and take one for the team. I don't know. But I would have done something.
Hmm.
And so everybody's affected by this.
Yeah.
Even if your kid's not just getting bullied, I still have conversations with my son. Hey, does this take place? And what do people say? And how do you respond? And try to navigate it. We're all one of those three parties. And I think Scripture has something to say to all three of those issues as well.
Yeah, I think the dilemma could be when you're a bystander, but you're the parent.
Mm.
And you're watching your son or daughter go through it. It can be easy not to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
Those two things can go together, that loneliness part and the bullying. We can see our kids withdraw because they're being bullied, and so they withdraw from any kind of social issues. As a parent, you're watching it, and they don't always open up to us. Our kids don't always open up. Is there a way, do you think, Sean, like how would you advise a parent to get into that, to really get into their kids' hearts?
We got to start young and just build relationships with our kids. There's no just ask this question, do this turnkey thing, because kids are different and they respond in different ways. So when the Bible talks about training up a kid in the way that he should go and he will not depart of that, the analogy that's used is a bow, and each bow used to have its own unique bent because they weren't mass produced. So when I think about how I connect with the heart of my youngest son, it's different than my daughter. It's different than my older son, and that takes some wisdom to meet them where they are at. But I build relationships with all of them. I spend time with them. And so when these issues come up, there's some trust that's there, and I'm more likely to be able to speak into their life.
Hmm. What if we haven't done that? Like, I've done a horrible job of that, and I'm seeing my kids are really struggling. Is it too late? Because I didn't build that in the early years.
So it's never too late. Is it going to be harder? Yeah. But all you can do is give yourself grace and then start where you're at.
Hmm.
So I would say, for example, as a kid, you know, and I might say something like, hey, is there a chance we could go to coffee? I just want to hear you out. That's all I want to do. Would you be willing to hear me out and help me better understand you? I think most kids would say yes. And you just say, you know, I have some regrets in life. And one of them is that I was not more present in your life and didn't do a better job as a dad or a mom. I can't change that.
Mm-hmm.
All I can do is ask for your forgiveness and then see if you'd be willing to commit to help me be a better dad to you. Mm-hmm. I mean, what more could you do than that? Could a kid, like you said in an earlier conversation, could a kid still say, no, I hate you? Sure. And then you pray for him and you try again. You don't give up. But I just say, humble yourself, reach out. And the vast majority of people, if you bring that humility and compassion, are going to respond. Kids want relationships
with
their parents.
Yeah.
They do. There's just hurt and there's misunderstanding and there's stupidity because they're young.
Yeah.
But we got to break through that with love, right?
That's
it's your kindness that leads to repentance, Paul says.
Okay, so here's my question. Your youngest is 10. Your oldest is?
18.
18. Three.
Yep.
I don't know him. Sounds like you've done a lot of good things. What would you say is your biggest parenting mistake? Or regret?
I guess I'd say a couple things. It's a trade-off for me traveling a decent amount. Now, my dad was probably gone half the time, and I don't want to be gone that much for the way I'm wired, and so I travel less than that, but I'm still gone a decent amount, and it's an ongoing conversation in my mind. Am I balancing this well?
Yeah.
So that's just something that I've had to navigate with my wife and with our kids and try to figure out. So I didn't even know that I would do anything differently. But there's certainly times I've been on the road. I'm like, why am I here?
Mm-hmm.
What am I doing at this? You know, so that's probably a piece of it. I mean, I can think of times where I've said stuff to my kids that was hurtful. I mean, my kids like to make fun of me because my son would study in my office and he would leave food and I'd be like, don't eat in my office. And he left food and I was just so mad. I took this orange and I was like, you know what? You clean up. And I threw it on the ground and I stormed out of there. And in my mind, I'm like, I'm being such an idiot. I knew it. But, you know, they'll still make fun of me. So there's stupid things I said and stupid things I did. But to be honest with you, my son graduated last May. And when somebody graduates, it puts it in perspective. I don't have a lot of regrets in my parenting.
That's good.
And I don't know how that lands with some of your audience. You ask me, so I'm going to give you an honest response. I don't have a lot of regrets.
Which is super hopeful because of hearing your dad's story at the beginning of how horrendous it was. There's hope that our kids' kids and our future generations can be whole and healthy. Not perfect by any means, but by the grace of Jesus, there's hope.
Amen to that. And I'll tell you this. Just because I don't have regrets doesn't mean there's been times I've been at a loss. There's times I could tell you where I called up a friend and I said, I literally do not even know what to do. I'm at a complete loss at a parent. But if you build that relationship over time, chances are it's going to come through.
Yeah, the relationship will win.
To thank Dave and Ann Wilson and their team for another edition of Family Life Today. Although our programs are produced in America, the issues facing families like forgiveness, communication, and taking care of our kids transcend national borders. These issues profoundly affect relationships everywhere. In Australia, family life is known as Power to Change, and our mission is to effectively develop godly families. The kind of families that change the world one home at a time. A key part of our mission includes strengthening marriages and families all around the world. We want to do whatever we can to bring timeless truths to the challenges you face as you seek to strengthen your family and join us in changing the world. Do you want to impact couples in your neighborhood? Consider joining with us at Power to Change to lead a Home Builders Couples Marriage Workshop that focuses on practically applying the truth of Scripture to our lives. Email radio@powertochange.org.au or check out our website, families.powertochange.org.au, under the Helping Couples tab for more information and to get started today. Have a great weekend and please join us on Monday at the same time for another edition of Family Life Today. Thank you.